Welcome to the RRJ podcast, where we talk to student reporters behind the stories on the Ryerson Review of Journalism online magazine. Today we're talking with Jacqueline Nelson, who wrote a story about the difference between custom publications and consumer publications. Before we go on, Jacqueline, could you just first tell the distinction between a custom publication and a consumer publication?
Sure, Greg. Well, my story is a lot about how the two are merging, but classically, a custom publication is a kind of magazine, a kind of book where there's only one advertiser, so a company has sponsored the magazine, and they're solely responsible for the advertising in it, and sometimes that influences the content. Whereas a consumer publication would be a title owned by, say, Rogers or St. Joseph Media, something like Elle, Flair, Canadian Business, where there are many advertisers and the content is supposed to be independent of the advertising.
What we typically think of when we think of a magazine.
Of a magazine, yes.
So tell me about the major issue at the heart of the consumer versus custom debate.
Well, when I first started the story, I assumed that there would be within the magazine community, both consumer and custom, a lot of, frustration or anger between one side and the other side, both of them thinking that they had arguments and reasons why they were the best, especially when it comes to consumer, that there would be some sort of major rift, as I sometimes hear when I'm in my journalism classes. When I started reporting, I realized that everyone on both the consumer and custom side seem to be happy with what they're doing. And the custom publishers and editors and writers don't feel that their products are any less valid, any less worthy of attention than the consumer books do. Although I do find that at school, we're taught that there's more of a distinction.
Yeah. Is that just because, you know, it's a job's a job and journalists just go, back and forth trying to find work?
I'm not sure I would say that it's a job is a job. But at the same time, I guess there's an element of that. I think that people who love to write and edit, when they find an outlet for doing so, especially because it's not easy to find a journalism job, I think that they, in the case of editing especially, when they have a product to call their own, they just become passionate about what they're doing. And if they find that they have readers, consumers of their work that are enjoying it or finding it useful, I think on either side it's very easy to feel like you're helping people and that you love what you do.
Yeah. I guess, you know, and you mentioned this, that we learned something in our classes, that we have this idea that to be a journalist, you have to be a crusading journalist, and you're always having to expose something. But it seems like your story kind of shows a different light, that journalists don't all have to be crusading in order to be considered journalists.
There's definitely a lot less jadedness or faux jadedness, I find, once you get into between custom and consumer publishing. I feel like there's a lot of similarities in custom and consumer in titles where they're service-based journalism is the most common form of journalism where they rely on it the most. So not necessarily like Canadian magazines like The Walrus or Maclean's, but magazines such as fashion magazines, such as parenting books, home books, shelter books, women's magazines, magazines that are primarily service-based and that are designed to make you feel good, to teach you something small. So when you put it down, you know, you kind of think about it later, but you're happy about it. I think both custom and consumer can do that quite well.
I mean, we go to custom publications because it's good money and it's safe, supposedly. But in an economic downturn like this, are custom magazines even safe? I mean, if I'm a corporation, the first thing I want to cut is advertising. And so I would probably think to cut this magazine that we publish.
Definitely when companies get in trouble, the first budget to go is usually advertising, followed by like marketing and training budgets. So that's definitely a concern for the custom book. Now, the thing is that in an economic downturn, because everybody will be cutting their advertising, that's a risk to the consumer book as well. They've got many advertisers and they have a lot to lose. A custom book only has one advertiser. And if the company sees the value in keeping the magazine around, if they've found that it's helpful to their consumers, they may want to keep it. It's really hard to show the return of investment on a custom book. It's hard to show that people are reading it or that it's selling products. So yes, sometimes when it's cut, it'll be cut completely. It won't be hurt by like little advertising losses here or there. But if the company does decide that it's valuable, if they somehow find a way to show that return on investment, or they just they're so big that it really is not enough of a drain on them for them to bother removing it, then I think it's a great way to keep a job, because it is so all or nothing that if you work for a custom book that the company is keeping, you should experience no change.
Thanks, Jacqueline, for coming in and speaking with us and all our listeners. You've been listening to the RRJ podcast. I would like to thank Angela Glover for her wonderful production help and Sam Hudson for music. Have a great week.